Good evening. Mo'adim l'simcha. Hope everybody had a pleasant Seder. Tonight's shir is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Meir Ben Yochanan. May the Neshama have an aliyah. Just as a sidelight, we don't ask the Nifter the first year of somebody departs the world. We do not ask them, we do not beseech them to pray on our behalf because they're busy praying for their own souls. They are before the Kisei HaKavod, they're pleading their own case, so we do not disturb them. They're busy with other things, as the Gemara points out. Now, tonight's shiur, I mentioned Ben Arboim Labina, and that's very interesting because everything that we've done, that we've said, and the interesting part of the Haggadah that tells the stories, it plays a role. Ben Arboim Labina, when we read the Pirkei Avos, we're going to start reading next week. And in Perek Hamishi, which interestingly enough about that Perek, it doesn't attribute any of the things that we had in the first four prokim. Every paragraph, every Mishnah is attributed to somebody's soundbite from one of the Tanoim in the Gemara. But in Perek Hamishi, it's basically what we would call a consensus opinion. It's just something that we already know, and everybody agrees. And the age of 40, it says, Ben Arboim Labina. And what is that all about? Why particularly 40? And we see many instances which delve into the parts of the Haggadah. When we discussed last week the Maisa B'Rabbi Elazar and the five gentlemen, the five Tanoim that were Mesubim B'Bnei Brak, and it's interesting that we always mention the fact that they came to Rabbi Akiva to make them feel better. Rabbi Akiva had a history of making them all feel better. The truth of the matter is, Rabbi Akiva, of course, as we pointed out, had that proclivity, but the fact is that he didn't have that ability. What made him so special, the fact is, until he was 40 years old, had lived life as a different person, had seen more of the world than possibly other people in his time, and came to the conclusion that Yiddishkeit, to be a frum Jew, was the path that he would choose for his life, happened at the age of 40. And we know the Bnei Yisrael were 40 years in the Midbar, because when they left Mitzrayim, they were basically like a new person, and they had to mature enough to be able to go into the land, inherit a land, and only the children afterwards, because they themselves were not mature enough to handle freedom, as we see many people who have endured prison. The rate of recidivism, if somebody's been in prison a long time, he doesn't know how to deal with the outside world. And Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they had been slaves, and now they took them 40 years in the Midbar to reach the point where they would be able to be mature enough to run their own lives, to lead a country and to form a government of sorts and do what they had to do to inherit a land. And we see that the age of 40 is very important. And where that comes into play as well is David HaMelech. He was king for 40 years old. He was 40 years from the age of 30 to 70. He was the Melech, and Shlomo HaMelech as well. The reason I mention Shlomo HaMelech, because today we read Shir HaShirim. And in Shir HaShirim, we see something very interesting, not in Shir HaShirim itself, but in the life of Shlomo HaMelech. He was on the throne for 40 years, but in his early years, as we see it once again in Pirkei Avos, when it says what people go through at various ages, at 10, at 15, at 20, and so on and so forth until 90, 100. But the fact is that Shlomo HaMelech, when he wrote Shir HaShirim, as we might have been mentioning before, when he wrote Shir HaShirim, he was in his youth. And he was striking out in the world, and what did he do? He writes Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo, mentions his name a couple of times in Shir HaShirim, and does not mention his ancestors in any way, shape, or form, gives them no credit for the life that is his. He has asked God for Chachma, which is a wonderful thing, but he ascends the throne at the age of 12 years old. He's a brilliant man, but he hasn't lived the world and makes many mistakes in his life. And at the midlife crisis that he goes through, and he writes Mishlei, he realizes some of the errors of his ways, and he says, Mishlei Shlomo ben David, and this is what it is. He realizes that on some level he has to account for the fact that David was his father, David HaMelech. He comes from David, gives him some credit for raising him the way he did. He's beginning to see the world in his feels that he's already a little bit old enough to give some advice to other people. But literally the most important things that he writes are at the end of his life, when he has been on the throne for 40 years, has matured on the throne, he has been there, and he writes Koheles. And as we've mentioned before, Divrei Koheles Ben David, the word Koheles is a compilation. It's a combination of so many things. And so he says, Divrei Koheles Ben David, I am merely a compilation of from the Davidic line. I come from David and Yishai and all these people that came before me. I am the son of David, and doesn't mention his name even once in the entire story. But this is the point we're talking about, Ben Arboim Labino, growth in the human psyche. And we see that what is so important about 40 years old, and we see going back to the Haggadah with Rabbi Akiva, is the one very famous story that we've mentioned before about Rabbi Akiva, when it talks about Arba Nichnasu L'Pardes. And this is a very important part of what we're driving at. Rabbi Akiva, as I said, had experienced life more than the others in terms of different worlds and came to a very firm belief in God. And we see that very much so. Who were the four people who had this out-of-body experience? It said that who are these people? Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Elisha Ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva. And it doesn't tell us anything about what they experienced, and the Mefarshim get into the whole idea of perhaps what threw them off or what caused certain lapses in judgment with Elisha ben Avuya, Ben Azai hates it for Mace, Ben Zoma, Nitra for Daito, various things. They were young people, we are told. And the point is, for those two unfortunate young souls, they were young, and or at least we speculate they were young. Some point out they might have been a little older, but nevertheless, they had attained such glory. They're mentioned so many times in Gemara, but yet they could not handle that experience that they nichnasu l'pardes. They weren't 40 years old. They didn't have the years of experience in life under their belt to be able to handle such an amazing event in their life. Elisha ben Avuya, whatever he saw, he was certainly over the age of 40. But what we're getting to is, it says the last line in the story is, Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas b'shalom v'yotza b'shalom. Only Rabbi Akiva, it said, entered in b'shalom, in peace, and left in peace. What happened to the other three? They didn't enter in peace and leave in peace. Obviously, we know what happened with the three of them. Only Rabbi Akiva left in peace. But the fact remains that only Rabbi Akiva, what happened to the other three? They didn't go in peace. These are great Tanoim of their time. The fact remains something very important. Only Rabbi Akiva was nichnas b'shalom. Only he went in peace. He was settled as a grown person. He was settled in mind, spirit, and body. He had no worries or no concerns about what was going on in the world. We see and we experience so many things. We have so many questions in life about what happened, the tragedies, the glories, the ups and the downs. And we ask questions and we can't explain them. Ben Azai and Ben Zoma had tainus. When they went in, they weren't nichnas b'shalom. They had questions that were left unanswered, and they were trying to figure out how the world exists. Elisha Ben Avuya saw things that sort of upset the apple cart in his mind, and he became an agnostic. He became a turncoat. Literally, he told on other Jews. He became what we would call today a rodef. He was Malshin B'nai Yisrael, and he gave up other Jews. He turned into a very bad person because he no longer believed in God as we know it. Only Rabbi Akiva, because he was of age, he had the maturity that we have. We see that in life, generally speaking, that so many people go through certain things, and we can't process the events of our lives until we obtain a certain age. And that is the message in the Haggadah. The difference between Higadata Levincha, Ki Yisholcha Bincha, and when there's other songs on the Rosha who says, when a son tells you something, and that is a tragedy when a son thinks he has, at the age of 18 or 20 or even 25, has experienced enough of life where he could tell his parents that he knows better than they do. When they tell you, you don't know what you're doing, I see life differently than you do, my way is the new way is the better way, and this is an unfortunate situation that we see in the world today that we're coming up against. They don't treasure the wisdom of an elderly person, of somebody who's been that. I went through all these things with my father so many times, and every time I would reach a certain point in life, when I would say to him, I now understand this or that that you once told me, now I get it, and he would say, that's all we want. At some point in time, to come to the realization that I have told you is giving you the benefit of my experience. Only Rabbi Akiva was only able to process that information that we are so dearly need, but we have to trust it. Chazal were very poignant and very understanding. They went through great detail to say that. They had their own sound bites in the first four prokim of the Perek that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi published. But when he gets to Perek 5 and it tells us all these things and what the certain parts of life you reach, a certain age, what your proclivities will be and what the pluses and minuses of the age are, it's a totally consensus. They all agreed upon it. It doesn't attribute it to any one person because they all would look at each other and say, that's it. They've had the experience of David, who unfortunately mishandled he was great in the Malchus, but he left a lot to be desired as a father, having two sons who rebelled against him. Shlomo HaMelech, who obviously went astray in many other ways by thinking he could outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going against certain dictates of having too many wives and letting them leave his heart astray. He did not have those 40 years of life experience. He starts out with the Shir HaShirim. We read Shir HaShirim on Pesach because the same way that Shlomo HaMelech was striking out at the early age and writing Shir HaShirim, thinking he could conquer the world with his great wisdom, the Jews were beginning a new life when they left Mitzrayim. And now they were striking on their own with freedom. But there were many pitfalls ahead of them because they had not experienced life as free people and made many missteps. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har Sinai there's something about the number 40. It was a transformative experience for him to be 40 days on Sinai. And in the same 40 days that he was transformed as a human being to somebody who was closer to an angel without eating and drinking for 40 days and 40 nights, he obviously underwent some chemical change that God bestowed upon him in his body. And when he came down, he was a different person. But when he came down, B'nai Yisrael, who in the same 40 days that Moshe rose to a new level, he transcended the life of a human practically. And now, but in the same 40 days, B'nai Yisrael went back down that, so to speak, rabbit hole and were back in Mitzrayim at the end of the 40 days, going back on the old days and needed to start once again. And as if today was the first day that they're getting out of Mitzrayim. And things go from bad to worse. But at the end of 40 years, thank God, at least at the end of 40 years, God determines that they are able to go into the land and inherit the land as good functioning human beings, citizens that could raise a country. We see that in our lives. Some of us make decisions early in life that make all the difference in our lives. But we see when we either hopefully we make those decisions with the advice of the parents that brought us into this world. As we remember them when we read, when we say the prayer of Yizkor on this coming Thursday, when we say Yizkor, we remember those who came before us and look to the advice that they gave us no matter how old we are, because they have the benefit of their experience. And even if they weren't Einstein or Moshe Rabbeinu, they had the benefit of life experience. Rabbi Akiva did. He was Nichnas B'Shalom, V'Yotze B'Shalom. May all our lives be Nichnas B'Shalom. That's the only way that we could be Yotze B'Shalom, if we were Nichnas B'Shalom. May all our hearts and minds be at peace. Have a wonderful rest of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Thank you and a good evening.